Should we go on with the live portion of the show?
Let's just finish.
Let's just finish.
Yeah, I gotta go.
Stuart Mann came all the way out from Austin. Shit. All right.
We can go.
Thanks for dropping in, guys.
We have nothing going on.
It's great talking to you, and see you guys hold your guitars.
Actually, the truth is we just had like an awesome interview session. We just, we talked about like the history of country music, the problem with corporate radio.
We blew our wad, basically. We have nothing else nothing to talk about.
I'm at a loss for words right now.
Let me set the stage by letting everyone know I was drinking my way through Austin recently, and I found myself on the roof of the Blind Pig Pub, and it was raining. And there were these guys playing, and I pulled the I'm in radio card. And
did you have business cards with you, or you just
I had my little here ones. I think I had my cards. I don't even remember if I gave you a card.
I don't think you had a card.
I actually was skeptical. And I felt skeptical of myself doing it too.
I had that same feeling. But I'm amazed how bands just hand you a CD.
Well, but it was one of these things where I felt like I honestly, I heard your music, and I felt like I was going to regret not talking to you about it, not getting. Not just to get the CD, but to sort of like get your music so I can play it on the air.
Right.
The thing that I saw with you was the passion. You know, I could tell you, or at least I thought I could tell you.
He's an actor.
You weren't BSing me. Yeah. Yeah. I didn't think you. I didn't feel like you were BSing me. So
if I didn't drink so much beer that night, you know, I probably would have never made it to the bathroom. Right.
See, so it was all meant to be.
Good.
And now we're out in LA. In the studio.
Yeah, so you were just going through L.A. and hit me up in MySpace, and we just saw you play at Molly Malone's the other night.
Yes.
And I saw you Wednesday night.
Thanks to you.
Oh, yeah, anytime.
There you go.
Since Wednesday, you've been to Vegas. You played a bunch of shows. What have you guys been up to?
We played the next night here. Where did we play? Or the next two nights here. Then we went to Vegas, messed around down there. Then we went, came back here, played yesterday. It was really rough because we had to be back in L.A. at noon on Sunday after Vegas on a Saturday night.
Oh, God.
So you were up at like 6, 7 in the morning.
Yeah, so we had to leave. We had to leave Vegas. These guys came into the room at 6:45. Or sorry. Take that back. At 4:45. I woke them up at 6:30 to leave.
Wow.
Needless
and you guys
are
all tired from volunteering in a soup kitchen all night.
Exactly. And then, see, that's the thing is we were just working so hard for the people all night that slaving away, my hands hurt because I was cooking and stuff, you know, stirring the soup.
But, and you're emotionally drained.
Exactly. Emotionally drained because I feel for them. I wanted to take them with us to L.A. so they can see sunny California instead of the desert.
They used to live in L.A. before you went out to Austin, right?
I lived in Brentwood for a little while, which is Brentwood.
Is that what that accent is that I'm hearing?
No.
It's Brentwood?
Is there a Brentwood accent?
Is there a Brentwood accent? Is that what
it is? Yes.
That's what I was trying to do right there. That's what I was trying to get at. No, the
confused with Van Nuys.
Brentwood was nice. Brentwood was all right. It's not bad. L.A. in general is ridiculously expensive, but it was cool. It was a good experience.
But
so.
the kind of music that you do, is it largely influenced by being in Austin? Is it a particular Austin style of doing music?
Absolutely. I think so, I guess. I mean,
I'm hearing Brentwood.
See, still, you can't get past the Brentwood?
Can't
I should have never said that. I should have never said Brentwood. Now, I've lived all over the place, so I think that I'm influenced by, you know, I grew up listening to a ton of stuff. My dad was really big on all different types of music, and so he made it a point to, you know, make me listen to everything growing up, and so I kind of just, I grew up with, like, I guess, like a sponge, soaking it all in, and then I got to, as I got older, and, like, I could actually physically force him to change the station, you know, I started to be able to decide what I wanted to listen to instead of everything that he wanted to listen to, But
and that,
Texas
that ended up affecting what you wrote when you started writing music?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, living in Texas, I think it's kind of hard to not be influenced by what goes on there. Just like, you know, I mean, there's a huge music scene here in L.A. You know, it's hard to not be influenced by your environment when it's such music. You know, there's so much music going on and all different types of music at that. So Austin's cool. It's a cool town.
I don't know if we even introduced our guest or not.
We haven't.
This is Stuart Mann, by the way. MySpace.com/StewartMann. Now, it's Stuart Mann in the Statesboro Review. Is this a recent
brand
new band? Did you start out as a solo act and then you added a band to it?
Yes. Yeah. The when I was recording the new album, it was really just myself. I mean, I had a band, but we weren't. It was kind of. I was looking elsewhere at the time. And so. I moved back to Texas, finished the album in January, all the while looking for new players and stumbled, I guess I found this guy first. This is Scott Inyart, by the way. He's happy to be here. Now, the Statesboro Review thing came along, I guess, around March. So we're an extremely new band. But Statesboro is from a Statesboro Blues, the Allman Brothers song, Statesboro Blues. I'm a big Allman Brothers fan. And Review, it's with a UE, so it's kind of like its own show within a show. It probably goes back to the Brentwood thing. But, yeah.
You have a CD, right? When was this? Was this recently released?
That's the one that's done in we're actually going to. That was kind of like, that's a 6-song or 7-song EP. I think what we're going to do is we just recorded a new tune that we're going to throw on that and then repackage it, because we've been getting crap from radio guys like yourselves, and they're mad at us because
the packaging doesn't fit.
It doesn't fit on the shelf.
On the shelf.
My thought at the time was, I want to do something different or
it would
stand
out.
Yeah. And I guess it does, but I didn't realize that it was going to be the size of a DVD. I thought it was going to be the size of a CD, but in a cardboard sleeve.
Right, right.
So I kind of got screwed on both ends there.
No, but it's cool for us, though, because like, I've pulled your CD out a couple times to play on the show, and I know exactly
where
it is.
You know exactly where it is. Yeah, easy to find.
And I don't have to worry about it being alphabetical or anything. Did I put it under S or M?
Yeah,
or
whatever.
It's filed by shape.
Exactly. So why don't we, you guys want to play a couple live songs for
us
here in the studio?
We're going to do, I think this first song we'll do is actually pretty brand new. It is not on the album. I don't even remember, have no idea when it was written, maybe 3 or 4 months ago.
Does it have a title?
Do you know the words?
It's called Over You, and I'm pretty sure I know the words. We've only played it like 10 times.
All right.
Maybe 40 times.
So it's not quite a Kill Radio exclusive. We're the
11th. But close. This is very close.
Venue.
Nobody has a copy of this, so physically, for these people that are listening that have the ability to
record,
download it, is that right?
Uh-huh.
Afterwards? Yeah. This will be the very first opportunity to have it. So.
Yeah, it'll be up at myspace.com/HEAR_HERE. And Mark, I've been meaning to talk to you about your whole thing with the underscore.
What?
It's got to stop.
I'm not supposed to say underscore anymore?
You just use it too much.
Why are
we
you
can
so
talk about it later.
Yeah, we shouldn't be
we'll
talking
about
this
now.
Here. Not in front of the kids, John.
No, hey, in front of the kids.
All right, so
scar me. You're scar
whenever
me.
You guys are ready.
Never mind what was said, girl, your little hands are red. Never mind all our plans, with your lies I built a dam over you. Over you. Over you. Over you. Thank you. a name all over this town. No longer am I blue, but now that I'm standing tall over you, over you, over you, over you, over you. Yeah, I'm over you. Yeah, you. Over you, oh yeah, over you, oh yeah, over you, oh yeah, I'm over you, yeah.
Stuart Mann.
Nice.
We needed a hardwood floor for you, man. You were stomping it hard. I needed to mic it, too.
I know.
You start tap dancing.
There you go.
The pawn shop's going to be punching at the ceiling going, guys, came down up there.
That was great. I love watching you play guitar, man, because we were talking before about how, you know, you used to be into metal and, like, you totally see that seeping in there.
You did look like you were going to get all Pete Townsend just bashed against the wall for a second there.
Well, it was kind of like... Like really good guitar players, it looks like they're working out a problem when they're freestyling. You know, like
exercising.
The guitar
a
is a Rubik's cube, and they're not going to give up on it. You know.
Yeah. Now, so he hadn't had long hair since he's been in the band, but I know he used to have really long hair.
I had that right here.
And I think he's growing it back out.
Oh yeah.
And then you're going to see the true hair metal fashion.
So Stuart, where did you learn to sing? Did you just start singing and sort of developed your voice, or did you take lessons, or listen to other people sing?
Well, it was definitely listening to other people sing. I grew up listening, like I said, to so many different types of music, and I guess when you're a little kid and you're singing, especially a little male, it was easier for me to sound like some girls than guys. So there were some women singers that I would sing to.
Oh, because you were young and you couldn't get the lower register.
Yeah, I couldn't hit anything low. So I when I first started singing, my range started off sky high because I was singing to really high, you know, to women singers that were all over the place, which this is really hilarious. This is going to be on record now, but it's all right. Hey, I'm not ashamed of that. I'm not ashamed of that. But so like the low end came later in my life. You know, but yeah, I grew up singing, you know, and I, as far as lessons are concerned, I took one, I think, like hour class when I was living in Nashville. The management company made me take an hour class, which really didn't help me at all. I didn't feel like it helped me at all. It kind of, the thing that I compare music teachers to baseball coaches, at least some of them in the sense that baseball coaches, usually when they're teaching their team, their hitters how to hit, they usually have one way to hit or one way to field. You know, it's not like, hey, however you get the job done, go and get the job done.
Right.
And music teachers, at least from talking to other people that have taken classes and going to this class, there was no such like whatever gets, you know, Stuart singing well.
They want you to sing like them.
This is the way that you're supposed to breathe. Mm. This is the way that you're supposed to enunciate. This is how it's supposed to be done. And I read some article somewhere that Johnny Cash got told when he was young to never take a voice lesson because, you know, because it would ruin the thing that he had, which is, you know, like Willie Nelson, the same, you know, I mean, as far as country guys go, you know, rock guys, you know, I know Chris Cornell is, you know, I'm a huge Chris Cornell fan, and I know that he takes voice lessons, and, you know, with the singing, the way that he sings, it probably helps him a lot to take voice lessons breathing wise, but, you know, like phrasing is a really big deal, and, you know, I think you find your own unique voice if you just everything you've been listening to growing up, and you don't get told how to do it. It's not there's not a certain way to sing.
Well, along those lines, does that affect the way you write music as well? Like we were talking a little bit before about, you know, how you're trying to do something different.
Right.
People come up to you and, you know, it's not just country music or it's not just this, you know, it's
right. And that's,
you can't even put a label on it.
I can't. And I think that there's a certain part of me that thinks that's really cool, you know, and then there's another part that's like, damn, well, maybe maybe the major labels won't come calling because I don't sound like we were talking about, like everyone else that's out there.
Mm-hmm.
But I think as far as, you know, from a respect standpoint, eventually we will gain much more respect by doing what we know how to do and not wanting to sound like anybody else, and not emulating anybody else, but just, you know, yeah, I mean, you have your influences. Everyone has their influences, but I absolutely don't want to sound like anybody else. So, you know, I mean, I think when I write a song, I don't, you know, I'm definitely, you know, whatever I listen to, like, let's say this song, you know, for example, I think Over You, people have told me that it kind of sounds like it, you know, has like a Zeppelin feel to it, which is weird because I really didn't listen to Zeppelin that much growing up. I listened to them as I got older, but I wouldn't think, you know, that would be something that I would be influenced by.
Right.
I would write a song that sounds like it could be, or, you know, or anything. But, you know, but that's the thing. That's the greatest thing about songwriting is that you don't know where it comes from. You know, it just comes.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you don't know. Like I said, you can't. It's not a Coke machine that you just press a button and like out comes this song that you want to write. You know, I mean, it's organic, or at least my writing style.
Are you someone who writes a lot, or does it sort of come and go in phases?
I think throughout history, I'm notorious for having phases.
So you get into like a writing zone over a couple of months where you turn out a whole bunch of songs and then you take a break.
Yeah, I did. Well, what's funny is that I did live out here, like we talked about, and I started right before I moved. I don't know if it was because I knew I was moving or I was excited about moving or what, but right before I moved, I started kind of messing around with some stuff and having some ideas start flowing. And then when I got back into Texas, it just like, it was like the floodgates open, man. It was ridiculous. Yeah. So and the thing is you have to filter through the crap, but
yeah,
you know, I mean, there's plenty of crap that comes out, but I think, and what's weird about it is that the stuff that's coming out of me since I've been back in Texas is completely different than anything that I've, you know, it's than I would expect to come out of me. And, you know, it helps having a guy like Scott around that has the ability to improvise and the musical knowledge, you know, like, yeah, I mean, we don't write hair metal stuff, but his knowledge of music in general really adds a whole lot to the band.
And so. Does the band is sort of their ideas.
Oh, yeah.
They help affect the songs
up. I'm open to everything. Yeah. I'm open to all ideas. I'm not outside of the band. I'm not necessarily the best co-writer. I've never been good at like sitting down with another musician or, you know, and anybody outside of the band and writing stuff, but I'm open to all ideas as far as our band is concerned. So
melody's so important. Melody's really important with phrasing and everything else. So the melody's there, the words are going to help, you know?
Yeah.
I agree, buddy. But you know what I think's funny is I think we need to get a picture of you whenever you're trying to talk on this microphone.
Because we got to point it down at his mic, at his guitar there. Do you ever come to your band like, hey, I got this new song, you know, and then sort of the band
like,
season, like, it's not really your best work, man, but we'll go with it.
Like, I think probably there's been a couple ideas that they don't like. I think was because we're kind of still new that it hasn't gotten to the point to where, like, even it's hard for me to tell them that guitar part's bad or I don't like what you're playing. And I think it's you know, vice versa. It's hard for them to be like, hey, not the greatest thing you've come up with in the world.
Because you guys, in the current setup, it's been, what, like a year?
No, not at all.
No, not even.
Him and I, 4 months.
All right.
Or, no, 4 months? Yeah, 4 months.
And then you just picked up some new players for this tour,
right.
Like starting this tour, right?
A week.
Wow.
So, yeah, these are fresh and very fresh, very new. So.
And you had mentioned to me once before that you tour a lot, actually. It sounds like you build your audience more from going out of state just being local.
I guess I've always, you know, this goes back to us doing stuff that doesn't necessarily fit a mold. But I'm a believer that, you know, grassroots followings are the best kind and the most loyal kind. And I think, you know, growing up in Texas and seeing how many Texas acts that build huge followings and they get major label deals because of their followings, and, you know, as opposed to the other way around where they just cut a really awesome demo and sent it to labels and got signed. The guys, and, you know, I mean, Texas is notorious for, they work, you know, the artists, in, you know, every genre of music down there, they bust their butt and play as much as possible. And that's, you know, like I said, the most important thing about that is you get a loyal following that way. You know, you get guys that have grown, that have seen you. Like, I guarantee, you know, there's people that I've just met recently from us playing that will be huge fans of ours for years to come. And that's amazing to me because, you know, those are the people you can count on. You know, you're not going to, it's not a fad. And we're not, you know, it's not a fad.
Yeah. They're not your number one fan just for the night. Exactly. They really want to follow your career. And
Yeah.
Well, cool. You guys want to do another song?
Yeah, sure. This is another new one. It's called Comes Back to You. It's kind of I'm not a love songwriter per se at all. In fact, some people call
Mark's looking over me like, yes, you are.
Some people call me
I'm not a love song writer per se.
I don't do
at
the,
all
the love type well, thing. Yeah.
It's almost like you were thinking, no, actually, maybe, not at all, not even per se. Completely not.
100%
it's like
not.
You discovered it for the first time, how
right
deep
now.
It went. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that it's just, I don't know. Some people consider me to be a dark writer, I guess. I don't know why that is. It seems a lot of my stuff is negative. We have a song on the album that's about killing a woman.
That wasn't what Over You was about?
Over You? You know what's funny? You should say that because Over You originally there was going to be a line in Over You that was about like that, I guess. Maybe the thought of killing her.
Well, it's a relatable subject. We've all been there.
Right. Yeah, exactly. We've
Mark,
all killed,
you haven't
I mean,
been
did
there.
I just say that?
What?
No, I haven't been there.
No. So you're not straight.
But no, I just don't write love songs for whatever reason. And I was having girl troubles. One day I woke up and this song popped into my head. And I think this is probably about as close as I can get to writing a love song.
All right. I wish the audience good luck. You're listening to here on killradio.org. Our guest is Stuart Mann, myspace.com/Stuart Mann. Whenever you're ready, man.
Well, I woke up this morning, thought about all the things we never got to see. Instead of worrying about my woman, I spend most of my time worrying about me. It takes all that I have to get through my show. Yeah, the pain, it fades away, but the pain, it moves so slow. Well, no matter where I take my mind, baby, it always comes back to you. Yeah, the faults that weighed me down, they proved way too hard for even me to change. You would think with how I tried, they'd resolve themselves, yet they stay the same. It takes all that I have to get through my soul. Yeah, the pain, it fades away, but the pain, it moves so slow. Well, no matter where I take my mind, baby, it always comes back to you. Sometimes I wonder, yeah, if I cross your mind, and do you think we'll ever get along? Those nights together, Well, I gave you my soul to love again. I don't know if I'm that strong. Well, today I stopped fighting with your memory. It's out of sight and mind. And it pains me to think that I'll move on, but it won't be tonight. All I have to get through my soul. Yeah, the pain, it fades away, but the pain, it moves so slow. Well, no matter where I take my mind, baby, it always comes back to you. Well, no matter where I take my mind, baby, it always comes back to you. Well, I woke up this morning, thought about all the things I never thought to change.
You know how I knew that song wasn't going to be a happy song? Because it started with "I woke up this morning."
Yeah, I see. I told you, but... The thing is, like, the maybe girls think that's halfway a love song. I don't know, because it's talking about a guy that, like, regrets doing something to a girl.
Yeah, yeah, you know? It's a, so, yeah. I mean, yeah. It's about longing and you right, know wishing you right. could be with someone knowing so think, you can't. All right. Yeah,
but it, like I said, per se, it's not a love song. But maybe well, I don't know, what do you think, Mark?
I have no idea. Doesn't sound like a love song.
See, okay.
But I could see on kind of weird girl logic it would be, because they really think differently than we do. When I observe my friends, boyfriend, girlfriend, talk to each other, it's like, God, if it wasn't for lust, none of us would be here. I swear to God. Because we have a failure to communicate.
So what's next for you guys? You got any gigs coming up? Where are you going after LA?
After this, we're going to, we have a few dates out in Colorado. So we haven't been out there before. Similar to our situation, there was a lady and her daughter that were in town from Colorado, and they were at the Blind Pig. We're getting Blind Pig's getting. They're gonna owe us money for this push.
Yeah,
but so anyway, so they just happened to be in the audience and really liked us, and they wound up asking us to come out to Colorado, see if we, you know, they, like, I guess she owns the girl that we met first. Her mom owns a bar out there, and so they just asked us if we wanted to come out there.
You get a lot of gigs that way, just sort of word of mouth.
Yeah, absolutely, like,
wow,
absolutely.
That's a trip.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, like even. You know, even coming out here, it was all, the gigs were completely by word of mouth and by a friend knowing a friend, you know, like with you or the, you know, the thing this on Sunday that we did at Safari Sam's, you know, it was the same way. It was from, you know, another hookup. And that's usually how it happens is at least we'll get somebody that's a big fan of the music that lives outside of our, you know, core area that we normally travel. And they'll, you know, beg us or ask us to come out and play. And, so then we wind up asking them for, hey, what venues are in the area? You know, do you know anybody in the area? And so that gets forwarded to our booking people, and that's how it works. I mean, it's really cool because, you know, that kind of – at the same time, it's scary because it also means that you might only have one person at the bar that your friend's hooking you up with. You don't know what to expect. You don't know what to expect at those bars.
Yeah.
Right.
It could be a formal chitty bar, you know. It could be – But you know, there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
It's funny that you said that is like that because there's a place in Texas that just got shut down. It's in Brenham, Texas, and Chapel Hill, Texas, and what was it called? I don't even remember what it was called.
Blackwater.
The Blackwater. It was called Blackwater. So you walk in this place, and the thing is, like, the difference is that we had to actually get told by you that place was a former titty bar.
Right.
But.
We're talking about Safari Sam's.
Yeah, Safari Sam's, former titty bar. But the thing with this place is that you don't even have to guess. Like, you walk in, the lighting, everything about it has titty bar written all over it.
Mirrors everywhere.
Mirrors everywhere. The stage is square straight away when you walk in, and the stage is like a 8x8, you know, plot that you just
with
know
like a pole on either
yeah,
side.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, two poles.
I've seen them in movies.
Yeah. No, and so what happened is, from what we hear, is that they tried to make it a titty bar, and they got shut down by the city. And so the city said, okay, you know, you can have it be a bar, but I don't want to see a single pole in the whole place. So I guess what they did, despite the city, was like make it exactly like it belonged, you know, like it was a titty bar, but there's no poles, but there's mirrors,
oh,
and there's
that's
the
funny.
Lighting and everything about it. You know, there's ATM machines.
So are you guys gonna work on a new album now that you have a sort of new band put together?
I think what, like I said, we just recorded a new song that I wrote for the Wounded Warrior Project, which this will be cool to talk about this on here. A friend of mine was in the Army for 7 years, and he came back. He's been all over the world. Did two tours in Iraq, and he came back and, you know, kind of didn't know what he wanted to do when he got back in town, and worked a couple of various jobs, and somehow stumbled onto this Wounded Warrior Project, and I think it's woundedwarriorproject.org, and what you can do is that what they do is they take wounded vets, and since they're fairly new, they take most of the vets from, you know, that have come back from Iraq or, you know, or, you know, not doesn't date back to like Vietnam, you know, it doesn't
right.
at all, I don't think, but what they do is they take them on like hunting trips and fishing trips and
oh,
skiing
you know,
trips.
I've heard of this, yeah.
And they do big benefits for them, and it's real. And there's a couple of organizations that do this stuff. But anyway, my best friend wound up getting involved with them and called me one day and asked if I'd write a song for him. And so wrote the song. Did like once again, I wanted it to be like a happy go lucky joy like let's go get 'em song, but I don't write stuff like that, so it's kind of sad and depressing. But so we recorded it, same place. We recorded this album at Willie Nelson's studio in Austin, Pedernales Records.
Nice.
And the guy that produced it is, if you're familiar with Government Mule, he did Government Mule's new album, and I think he's worked with the Black Crowes. He's worked with Taj Mahal. He's worked with all kinds of people. But so what we're thinking about doing is adding that song to this.
Oh, and doing like a re-release?
I think so.
In
proper packaging, yeah. So we don't get hated on anymore.
Well, listen, we're about out of time. Should we leave with I can play a track off your CD, or
yeah,
you guys can do
awesome.
Another live one?
Yeah,
if you
we
want.
Can do that.
Do the track?
Sure, we'll do, I think Lady's probably going to be the single that we're going to release.
All right.
If that's cool with the audience. See, this is cool because I can ask questions, but they don't have to answer. So I
yeah,
just say,
exactly.
like, they said
you
yes.
You picture them in your head
they
going,
said,
yes.
Yeah, exactly. But louder.
Yeah, I have that in my head all the time. Yeah,
that's kind of a creepy yes.
Yeah, I know. You must kill mother and father. Yeah. I have that too.
Again.
Yes. But enough about me. Okay, you've been listening here on killradio.org. Our special guest today is Stuart Mann, the Statesboro Review. Go to myspace.com/Stuart Mann. That's Stuart with a W and
we
Mann
also
with
have
two N's.
A website. The website's stuartmannmusic.com.
There it is.
That's not on the album. Come see us sometime. We want to thank you guys very much for
absolutely
for Molly's and for having us here. This is a really cool thing you guys have going on.
Thank you.
Let us know whenever you're in town when you know, if we can help with your shows. And good luck in Colorado.
Do you want to thank all the bands now before we close out with the song? Do it that way.
Yes.
So anything you want to say, Stuart?
I want to say that I love all the people of the world. Love my
especially
music.
The people
love
of Micronesia.
Yeah, in Micronesia, I love you too. John may not love you, but I do.
Which more than compensates for John's expression of love.
So I'd like to thank all the artists who submitted Airplay today. Obviously, Stuart Mann, who was our guest live, and also we played Icebird, John Beale, Abtruse, Voxan, Team Salt, Aaron Williams, Buckfast, Venus Mischief, Andrea Andolomo, Io Perry, Terror Smith, A Happy Death, Julian Alexander, and Sherman Austin. We love you all. And this is available for download. Should be up in a couple hours at myspace.com/hearhear. That's HEAR_HERE. And podcasting on iTunes.
You
anything
said
else?
Underscore. I'm so bitter about that you got on me for saying under. First, when I first saw the show, you got on me for saying /.
Yeah, because that's retarded.
Because I was from the old world of DOS where you had to use /. So I would say /, and then I stopped saying /. Now you get on my case for no reason for saying underscore. What am I supposed to say,
no,
John?
No, I'm not saying. It's
what
not
am
that
I supposed
you
to
say
John?
Underscore. It's that you use underscore when you could just not use an underscore.
You mean like with this? Didn't have to make the MySpace page have an underscore in it?
Yeah, because now I have to add 3 syllables to something that could just as easily
be
a dash.
I'm addicted to underscores. My, you know, my email address, Jean-Luc Turbo, has some underscores in it.
Yes, I know. So does our new AOL handle, the Hear Hear handle?
No.
Oh, it doesn't? Yeah. See, now you've got me seeing underscores everywhere.
Where they're not there.
Whatever, you said you were addicted.
As a psychology major, mm-hmm. I think that says something about you as a person if you like a lot of underscores.
And it's underscoring your relationship.
But I don't have an answer. I don't know what it means. Yeah. It means something. I'm going to think about it.
What do you feel like it says, Mark? Mark, what do you think it says? I know. Let's talk about you expressing anger towards yourself, because that always gets psychologists a hard on.
Here, hold this teddy bear. Tell it to the teddy bear. We'll be back next week. We can't resist it. Hear, hear. KillRadio.org.
A Friday morning, a pain in my head. Yet another woman on the other side my bed. Had me too much whiskey. I should have stuck with Jim. But nothing I was drinking gonna free me from this sin. Still I ask forgiveness. I try to seek a change. You know the more I ask, it seems the more I stay the same. La la lady, I'm a restless man. I know how much I hurt you, but it comes with who I am. Her face is shining, although her eyes are closed. Before I'm up and gone, I kiss a pretty little nose. I swore I'd never leave her, a mini on the night. Yet I still deceive a traitor, promise for a lie. A la-la lady, I'm a restless man. I know how much I hurt you, but it comes with who I am. Well, there's times when I think I need a change. Oh, 'cause I know it'll only bring me pain. Still, I'm sure it'll always be this way. La la la.